countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing 295,000 readers the latest farming news and the best of rural Ireland weekly.
Now, the first time listeners to RTE, in this instance RTE Television, heard my next guest this morning was way back in the early 90s on the very first edition of Ear to the Ground.
Rain clouds have been a constant feature of the grain grower's life in 1993. Bad weather in autumn, spring and summer has affected both yield and quality. And then they're set aside, there to cast another cloud over the future of the industry.
And that was on the back of that 15-second piece to camera that a long career has made him a familiar voice on our radio and a familiar face on the TV news. And that career with RTE draws to an end tomorrow. So on your second last morning on duty, Kieran Mullooly, Midlands correspondent still with RTE, you're welcome to Countrywide.
Good morning, Damien. My goodness, where did you get that clip? Oh my God, that's a surprise.
You haven't changed a bit. How is it that your RTE and TV career began presenting Ear to the Ground of all programmes?
Yeah, it had everything to do, I suppose, with that other presenter on that first edition, Mairead McGuinness. I mean, whatever happened to her, Damien? How is she? Where is she? What's she doing? I'm not sure anymore. Mairead McGuinness gave me a call. I was working in the time in a local radio near and dear to you and I called Shannonside, down the Midlands. And she asked me, would I do a camera test? And I did it in the village of the town of Drumshambo in County Leitrim. And as I say, the rest is history.
Because apart from being a broadcaster, you were from a farming background.
Yeah, my dad had a dairy farm, a small dairy farm. We had 10, 15, 20 cows, far too many as far as I was concerned, because it was hard labour most of the time. And you can never get off, of course, in that business. But I worked in that for the first 20 years of my life alongside my brothers. And, of course, I was up to my neck in hay and silage, turning, baling, and, of course, turf, as you do in the Midlands. So I got a good rearing on a good farming background.
So, but you never wanted to go into dairying. Where did the calling to journalism come?
Yeah, it's an interesting story, and I'd forgotten a lot of it until yesterday. I got like a lovely card in the post, Damien, yesterday from my old English teacher at Lanesburgh Community College, Sheila Stafford, and she reminded me how it all began, and I'd almost forgotten it. I took part in a workshop while I was in, I suppose, what you call transition year back in those days, a fourth year in school, and it took place in Longford Community in St. Oliver Plunkett Vocational School with a little-known writer called Maeve Binchy, who took us as a group of students for a day, most part of a day, and tips on writing and what to do. And at one stage sat us down and said, okay, off you go yourself, write something. So we did, we handed in the paper, and about an hour later she came back and she said, stood over me and she said to the class, she said, you know what, she said, this isn't bad, you should continue to write. And I'll never forget that day. Yeah. I did some work afterwards with the local paper while I was still in school, and even though I started out in college doing mechanical and plastic engineering, I quit after a very short period of time because a man called Eugene McGee, the late great editor of the Longford Leader, gave me a start as a junior reporter. I worked in Longford and in Cavan, and I enjoyed every moment of it.
Yeah, would you say that Albert Reynolds becoming Taoiseach at the time you were working in the newsroom in Shannonside Radio, where you moved on to from the Cavan and Longford Leader, that it was a stroke of luck that probably helped pave your career into the future?
Without a doubt, Damien. I mean, it's timing, isn't it? That's the key word, isn't it, in politics and in life in general, timing. I just happened to be on the local radio staff when Albert became Taoiseach, and we had this fantastic situation on a Monday whereby the leader of the state, who was involved in all types of negotiations, remember at the time, on the peace process, on European funding, came back to his local town, to his local area on a Monday, and might have been launching something like a local water scheme or doing something official. But of course, all the national media were there, and we had an opportunity to sit on the front, and Albert being Albert, always came to the local person first, and we had a chance to ask questions, not about the water scheme, but about what was going on in the Middle East or what was happening to the economy or to the peace process. And I suppose his answers and the opportunity to get in on that was a start. And when he became Taoiseach, we were actually broadcasting from Buzzwell's Hotel in Dublin on the day he became Taoiseach. And that type of experience, I suppose, gave me a taste, Damien, for what it was like to be in on the national scene as well as on the local scene.
Now, Kieran, over the years, I'm sure you've covered hundreds, if not thousands, of stories. Are there any one or two that stick out for you?
Yeah, I have to say, just the last few days have been a real roller coaster, Damien, just thinking back on some of the stories. I mean, I was a very young Midlands correspondent back in January of 1996 when I came face to face with the first really violent crime that I'd ever really seen or come close to. And that was the death of a young lady called Joyce Quinn. She was just 44 years old, and she died at her shop in Milltown in County Kildare. She was the victim of a violent attack, and it was a horrific event. I remember remember well on that occasion going into that community, as I say, I hadn't ever covered a murder before for RTÉ or anyone else. Meeting the people, meeting those involved, meeting her husband Ray, her family, and over the course of a number of days, while a search went on and the community was in a state of high alarm, it was an absolutely distressing experience, obviously, for the family, and it was a bit of a shock for me as well, because I'd never been in that scenario before.
I want to stop this agony for other families. It's too late for my wife. Look, I'm sure Mrs. Owen is very sympathetic to my plight and the other families, but that's no use. We want these people put off the streets, and we want our economic boom is no flipping use to us at all if we don't have security for our families. It's hopeless. Casale would just plead with the public, cooperate with the Gardaí, and for the Minister for Justice in particular, to please start moving on the prison system and try and do something credible and sensible.
Yeah, that's the voice there of Ray Quinn, the husband of Joyce Quinn, and you conducting that interview. Kieran, you also understood the power of RTÉ to get answers to questions, like the questions being asked by the women whose breast cancer was misdiagnosed at the Midlands Regional Hospital in Portlaoise. That was another big story you covered.
Yeah, it was one of the striking stories when I think it showed the power and the importance of RTÉ and its investigations opportunities units and its support units that I had at that time. I was contacted initially by a person who had some concerns about a cancer diagnosis at the Midland Regional Hospital in Portlaoise, a lady from North Tipperary, and the contact came through a third party to me. And initially, you know, you get so many calls in a week, you never know. But as we over a course of a week or two, it suddenly became clear to me and to her and to her family that there was a misdiagnosis. And in fact, in the end, it turned out that there were up to 10 ladies who were affected by it. They had been told they were clear, their tests were clear, they were fine, but in fact, it was a misdiagnosis. They had their cancer had returned. And I'll never forget one day, Damien, we went down to Portlaoise in the immediate after when we broke the story, and we sat at a centre near the hospital, and about 300 ladies came in over the course of a day because they had to be rechecked as well. And it was an incredible day. I never forget the expressions on their faces as they came in. They were looking for reassurance. Thankfully, many of them got it. But unfortunately, a number of those ladies who were initially given the good news have since passed away. I know one of them, I have her photograph still in my own wallet.
God. Well, whether you like it or not, you mightn't have used the Wellingtons to clean out cattle sheds back home in Lanesborough, but you certainly had to have, you got lots of use of them over the years in covering flooding and weather conditions in the Midlands. Take a listen to this.
What's proposed is that two people will travel with...
Once the first load of bales was ready, the first stop for the Air Corps was Inishboffin Island, 14 kilometres from Athlone. The Shannon here is frozen solid in many parts, and 75-year-old farmer John Connell, the last remaining inhabitant on any island on Loch Ree, is more than happy to see the hay drop from the sky.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. Oh, you're very welcome indeed.
We're very thankful.
Not at all.
The lake is frozen. The whole lake is frozen now.
Did you get the bales?
They could do with a feed now.
That was one of the memorable stories in covering flooding and other weather-related stories in the Midlands over the years. So you're taking a new career path now, Kieran. You're going to miss the cut and thrust of the news beat?
Yeah, I certainly will. Just before I go off, John Connell, I mean, that sort of reportage was made famous by the Diane of all correspondents in RTÉ, Jim Fahey. I mean, that's where that came. I came from that school. I learned from Jim Fahey, and I'll never forget him for what he did for us. And I suppose over the years, I built up a relationship with people. I realised in my own community that, you know, we can change things as well if we roll up our sleeves when things are not going well. So a couple of years ago, I went back to school, having abandoned mechanical and plastic engineering, completed an honours degree in community development and social enterprise. And I said to myself, maybe it's time to turn around and start doing things and instead of just talking about them all the time. So in recent times, I've got more involved in community development and social enterprise, and I'll soon be taking up a position in County Roscommon where I'll be working with groups on a full-time basis in terms of changing their own fate, I suppose you'd say, within the community, helping them to help themselves.
Well, Ciarán, we want to wish you all the very best. Lots of texts, lots of messages coming in here, people wishing you bon voyage, and they will miss you, and you've got a great reaction all week on social media to it too. So to yourself, your wonderful wife Angela, and your two great boys, Brian and Owen, best of luck with Longford GAA and follow Man United into the future. Now you have lots of time to do it. Best of luck, Ciarán, and we'll see you tomorrow evening on the news.
Thank you very much, Damien.